for the sake of, yeah, what is that? Why do you have a little bubble?
I didn't do anything.
Is that the ghost? Is my that the ghost of my computer?
Oh, I guess so. Yeah, they're back.
They approve.
They do. That was, yeah, a nice little thumbs up from the ghost there. Talk Bollywood. I'm Kim.
And I'm Katie. And we're here to talk about singing and dancing and Mollywood boys.
Indeed. Mollywood boys who just can't help but beat people up, each other up. There's no preventing it. It's just
in
happen.
in some really chaotic ways too.
Extremely chaotic. I think chaotic is a good way to describe a lot of this movie.
Yeah. Delightful chaos. Delightful, yes. Violent chaos.
I think that's a perfect tagline for our movie this week, which is Talumala, which, as we were saying last week, is, I always call it, a series of fights. Mm-hmm. That's my preferred translation into English that I've seen of the title. Katie, what did you think? This is your second time watching this movie. Everyone knows, yes, I'm obsessed with it. What were your feelings?
Yeah, I really liked it. Excellent. I had enjoyed it the first time. I did have an easier time following the plot. This time, I still wouldn't say I completely got it. So I am very glad that you're doing the recap and, yeah, you can help me put things in order. But I think I did appreciate it, like the humor of it,
yeah,
more this time around, because I think the first watch was so kind of confusing to me with the time jumps that I was a little bit like, what's happening? Whereas now I was kind of new to expect that.
Yeah.
So then I could just enjoy the little like funnier details.
Yeah.
I also realized as I was watching it, I was like, gosh, what do I want to call this kind of humor? It's snappy.
It is snappy. I think, yeah, that's accurate. Yeah.
Like, it's a quick-witted film.
Yes. It's clever.
Yes.
I'm really glad to hear you say that, because I had written down somewhere in my notes that the first time you watch this movie, it is just a series of fights.
Yes.
And then every subsequent time you watch this movie, you start to pick up on subtleties. And it's funny, mm-hmm, because you wouldn't think that this movie would have subtleties, but there's a lot.
Right.
There are a lot of small moments, and,
yeah,
the dynamics between the characters are actually very like deep and complex, but you don't, mm-hmm, see that the first time you watch it because there's just so much going on. And so I'm glad that that was actually your experience, because I wrote that down and I was like, I can't say that because I've seen this movie probably 5 times.
Right.
At least.
Well, yeah. And I like a movie like that that gives you whatever you're looking to get from it.
Yes.
You know, like if you're, yeah, just like, I just want an action flick, boom, you've got it.
Look no
but then
further.
If you want some of that like deeper, more complex things, you can also find that, mm-hmm, through watching it multiple times.
Yeah.
So I'm a fan. I really enjoyed,
great,
it.
I'm glad.
Yeah. Again, still need some clarification around some things, but you will give us that. So
I'm happy to help. Yes.
That'll be great.
I also just want to take a small amount of time to gush over Tevino Thomas, like intentional time, because I'll be gushing about him throughout this recap. But,
uh-huh,
I just love this man so much. I think he's such an incredible, versatile actor. He's, mm-hmm, like a literal superhero. I don't know. He's always posting videos on Instagram of like animals and like going kayaking and his family. Uh-huh. And he just like seems like a really just happy, sweet, normal guy who's also an incredibly talented actor and extremely handsome. And I just, yes, love that for him. I love that for all of us.
Yes. Agreed. Big Tovey fan for,
yes,
sure. I desperately want to watch more of what he's in. And also if Dulquer Salmaan happens to be there too, fantastic.
Yeah, I got some of that.
Yeah, you do. I think that's all I have to say about that.
That's enough. And so transitioning then, I guess, into talking about the rest of our cast, because Tevino, mm-hmm, is playing Wasim. We have Kalyani Priyadarshan playing, I call her Beavy. We've got Shine Tom Chako, who's our villain, I would say, yeah, kind of like the primary villain of the piece. And then I also wanted to call out, because, you know, I feel like all of the guys in the friend group are fairly equal in their contribution to the story, but Lukman Avaran, who plays Jamshi, is another of my faves.
Yes. Kind of gets, like, passed over for all of, like, Wasim's, like, issues.
Yeah.
You know, everyone's like, he's more important than you.
Exactly. Yeah, it's kind of sad.
Yeah.
I mentioned those people because they're important to the plot, but then also those are the actors who, from this movie, who I've seen like most frequently in other Malayalam movies and other language movies, and they're just some of some people who I really always get excited to see. And then the movie was directed by Khalid Rahman. And just because this movie has one of my favorite soundtracks, like, ever, I also want to call out Vishnu Vijay, who was the composer for the film.
The music was fun.
It's really good. I like it a lot.
I was reminded that there's that one scene where it's like there's barking dogs. And the first time that we watched it, I was like, oh, it's so obvious that they just have like the barking dog track going on repeat. And you were like, yeah, that's intentional. It's like part of the song. Yeah. And yeah, I just love the incorporation of like normal daily sounds.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun.
It is fun.
Yeah. And I also have to wish you a happy birthday, Kim.
Oh, that's right. Thank you.
Because, yes, we're recording this like a week early, but this episode is coming out on your birthday.
It is. Huzzah.
Huzzah. Happy birthday, Kim.
Thank you. I'm sure I will be enjoying myself wherever I happen to be on that day. So, mm-hmm. Yeah. Great. Well, anything else that we want to say before we dive into our plot recap?
Toby's very handsome.
Yeah. It bears repeating.
Yeah.
No matter what length of hair or beard he has.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah. He can wear a shirt.
That man can certainly wear a shirt. Again, it's an important skill. So, Talamala opens in a garage where two bloodied men are taking a breather in between rounds of a fist fight. Starting right out the gate with blood and fighting. Great.
Yes.
One of these men is Wazim, our hero, who says in a voiceover that he can't remember where this fight started, but he's going to try for us, the audience. We then flash to 6 months earlier, and Wazim, with slightly more hair and beard, is taking photos with his friends before his wedding. In his voiceover, he tells us that he met these friends while fighting. And this starts chapter one, Unbeatable Friendship.
Yes.
I'm giving the English translations of the chapter titles. Maybe they're different in Malayalam, but that's what we see. And this is now a flashback within a flashback, which happens frequently throughout this film.
Yes.
So one of the friends from the picture that we saw taken, Jamshi, we see him arrive at a mosque and carefully place a pair of brand new sparkling white sneakers at the communal shoe rack. And he's clearly very cautious. He doesn't want them to get dirty. He's keeping an eye on his shoes while he's washing before his prayers, and he watches as a now very floppy-haired and clean-shaven Wazim arrives at the mosque and just blindly steps right on top of the sneakers.
Yeah. That's kind of his whole vibe.
He really is pretty oblivious to anything that's not directly related to his world and his experience.
Yeah.
Wazim, after stepping on the shoes and taking off his own shoes, goes and is washing right next to Jamshi, and they exchange some tense words before Jamshi eventually just slaps Wazim right into the pool. Meanwhile, some guys are doing tricks on motorcycles.
Yep, as you do.
As you do, which causes a rickshaw to crash, and the rickshaw's passenger gets out and gets into a fight with one of the bikers. This is Vikas and Rajesh. They'll come up again. We see these two fights overlapping until at the mosque fight between Jamshi and Wazim, the imam breaks it up and tells Wazim to take Jamshi to the hospital because Jamshi walked there. And I like this feels like very like elementary school teacher of like, you two got in a fight, you got to work it out yourselves.
Yeah, and this will be a good opportunity for you to talk about it.
Exactly. Yes. But so Jamshi has Wazim take him home instead of to the hospital, where Jamshi's mom invites Wazim in for lunch, and Jamshi gives Wazim a new shirt, a dry shirt that he can change into. Wazim's face, meanwhile, is just like swelling up from their fight. But these two, they're now buds. They introduce themselves to each other, they discuss their fighting techniques, and now they're buddies.
Yeah. What a world. Can you imagine getting into, like, fisticuffs with another woman and then, like, yeah, first of all, no. but then also, like, an hour later just being like, yeah, okay.
Yeah,
like,
we're friends.
Yeah, no.
Nope, definitely not.
I'd hate her for life.
I would, too, because I'd be like, what did you do that made me go so completely against my own nature?
Yeah.
But so the two of them decide to, like, go to a game together, and they invite Wazim's friend Sattar, but on their way to the game, they get stuck in traffic, and the traffic jam is caused by Rajesh and Vikas and their fight. Mm-hmm. So these two fights were not actually happening at the same time. Jamshi and Wazim both step in to break up the fight, but this just causes more fighting until an elderly woman steps in and starts whacking them, and this causes the fight seemingly to break up.
Yeah. Also, there is a moment in that fight where someone punches a guy wearing a motorcycle helmet.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
In the head.
Yeah. Stupid.
Really dumb. Don't do that. PSA. Yeah.
For anyone who was thinking that that was a good idea, yeah. We can tell you it is not. But after the fight breaks up, we see all five of the boys, as I call them, Wazim, Jamshi, Sattar, Vikas, and Rajesh, eating together and singing together. They are now a group. They're a crew. Mm-hmm. We flash back, but also forward. So we go back to yes. Wazim on his wedding day, and we see him now taking a picture with a different group of guys. Mm-hmm. And he tells us in his voiceover that he's got a bit of a different relationship with them. And one of these men, Reggie, is the man who we saw fighting with Wazim in, like, the very opening shots of the movie.
Yes.
So this second group is Reggie's gang. And we now get a second flashback within a flashback where we see one of his gang comes and tells the others that he got beaten up by some guys who he was trying to stop from molesting a woman. So, like, the gang is like, okay, well, we gotta go beat up those guys now. And those guys are, of course, the boys and Wazim and his crew. And we don't see what happens in that fight, but we'll find out more about that later.
Yes.
Instead, we flash back to the wedding celebrations.
Yes.
It is, you get whiplash in the opening of this movie. Wazim is tensely processing into the wedding venue, flanked by both his friends and Reggie's gang, when his path is intercepted by a man who we later learn is named Siad. Siad sprays shaving cream into Wazim's face, and Wazim just punches him in the middle of his wedding celebrations.
Yeah, you shouldn't do that, though. Why the heck would you, like, slap the groom with shaving cream?
Yeah, that's a great question, and I don't have an answer.
I think you deserve to get punched.
Yeah, Siad is the actual villain of the movie. I said it was Reggie, but yeah. It's actually Siad. But we then get our title card, Talamallah, and over our opening credits, we get a graphic novel-esque montage. We can glean from this montage that a fight broke out at Wazim's wedding. He was marrying a famous vlogger, influencer, content creator. Mm-hmm. A video was taken of the fight and it went super viral. And Reggie, who is a sub-inspector for the police, he gets in some kind of trouble for this fight happening and going viral. We also see Wazim leave town. So that is what we know was the aftermath. And now we get to chapter 2, Break a Leg. And we're back in the present. And present is what I refer to as Tovey with his shortest beard and hair, where we start off seeing him fighting with Reggie. That's where we start the movie. That's the most recent period that we see. So that's what I'm calling the present.
Right.
In the present, in chapter 2, Break a Leg, a group is choosing a chief guest for their Arts Day celebration, and they cross out several names before landing on Wazim, who is now kind of like a local celebrity, but he's not here anymore. He's not in this town in Kerala. So they say that they're going to have to figure out where he is. He's disappeared from the face of the internet for the last 6 months. Meanwhile, Vikas is calling all of the boys to tell them that Wazim has been invited and is seemingly attending this Arts Day celebration, and so they decide that they're gonna go, even though they haven't talked to him in 6 months either. They don't really know what's been going on with him. Mm-hmm. And Wazim arrives at the Arts Day to a great deal of fanfare, and he tells himself to chill. There is no going back from this comeback. Things don't go great at this Arts Day. There's another speaker who questions why Wazim has been invited and, like, what he's contributed to society other than just, like, this one video that went viral. But Wazim proves that the crowd at the Arts Day is there solely to see him, not this other guy who's, like, a writer or something. As Wazim is trying to leave Arts Day, the crowd swarms him because they really just want to see him fight. In a voiceover, he explains that there are many different kinds of fights, and some hit your body, some hit your ego, and others hit your emotions.
Mm-hmm. I also just love that he's, like, a local celebrity because he fights so much.
Right.
I can't really imagine having that, like walking downtown and being like, oh, hey, there's that guy who's always
that guy,
like,
who gets in all those
getting
fights.
Into fights.
Yeah. And to like feel not super negatively towards him.
Right.
But it seems like there's a lot of people who do a lot of fighting in this town. So maybe it's not that unusual.
That's true.
We then get another flashback to just after the fight that broke out at the wedding. And we see that the wedding has been called off. Mm-hmm. Wazim's dad sarcastically tells him that this was the best fight of his career. We see Wazim remembering sweeter times with his fiance, who, again, I'm just going to call BV. And we also see her call him to say simply that she is going back. And he just says, okay. So she is clearly also leaving off to go somewhere.
Yes.
Spoiler alert, it's Dubai. Everybody's just going to Dubai.
That's the only place to go.
Apparently. Meanwhile, we see Reggie in the present. He's not doing so great. We see him get suspended from his work because he angrily slaps a man who turns out to be, like, the victim of a crime.
Yeah.
And he sees the video, a video that was taken at Arts Day of Wazim, and he realizes that Wazim is back in town. And this clearly is important to him, given the fight at the wedding. Wazim ends up meeting up with his friends, and they get dinner together. We see a tense scene between him and his family, so clearly there's some not-so-great vibes there. But it does seem like he's maybe trying to set things right in the present. You know, he's maybe trying to correct some of his ways. Mm-hmm. A day or so later, we see Wazim and the boys gathering to discuss opening a restaurant in their town. And as they're getting to work on the restaurant, it is revealed to Wazim that BV, his former fiance, is getting engaged to someone else in 2 days.
Yeah.
And so now, so we start to get a little more backstory here as we get into chapter 3, which is Groovy Beats. We return to our earliest timeline, in which Wazim's hair is at its longest and most luscious. Mm-hmm. His dad runs a movie theater, and Wazim also works at this movie theater. And one night, he is riding home from work on his bike when another cyclist rides past him super fast, and he yells after the cyclist, and then the cyclist flips him off.
And that's enough.
And that's enough for Wazim. He doesn't take this kind of thing lightly. And so he follows behind this cyclist who is hooded, and he can't see their face. And he falls behind and finally, like, turns a corner and can't see the cyclist anymore, but the bike is sitting there in the middle of the street. Then the cyclist, apparently, comes out, sprays him with something in the face, and Wazim just slaps him. But again, we never see this person's face, neither does Wazim.
Right.
And we see Wazim telling all of this to Sitar, and I love the way that they do this whole sequence. It's a fun way of showing the storytelling. Mm-hmm. And Sitar suggests that they track down the cyclist by finding the bike.
Yeah.
But before they can really take any action on that plan, an influencer named BV releases a video where she is describing this incident, but from the cyclist's perspective. And it turns out that she was the one riding the bike, but she wasn't the one who Wazim hit. She sent one of her guy friends out to confront him, and that's who got hit.
Mm-hmm.
And she says at the end of the video that she has video of the culprit, of Wazim, that she's going to release soon. Yeah, this is a big problem. And Sitar tells Wazim what he knows about BV. She's internet famous. She's from a wealthy family in Dubai. Her late mother is from Kerala, and so that's why she's back visiting. Sitar says that they need a plan for when she releases this footage of Wazim, but Wazim suggests instead that they just like and follow her content.
Yes.
He clearly has a little bit of a crush on her.
I get it.
Yes, and this launches us into our first dance number, Kenal Petale. And this number basically depicts Wazim crushing on BV through social media, which I'm sure we can all relate to that on some level.
Absolutely.
Throughout this, we get glimpses of BV's glamorous life in Dubai. She's, like, chilling on yachts and with panthers. It's cool. And after this number...
How did they get the panther on a yacht?
I don't think the panther was on the yacht.
Great.
I think that the yacht and the panther moment were separate from each other, but maybe not. That sounds like the start to a joke. How do you get a panther on a yacht?
Yeah.
After this number, Wazim is working at the movie theater again when who should he bump into but BV? And she's there with her younger brother, and Wazim asks her if she's worried that the guy who chased her, who she has this video footage of, if she's worried that he's gonna, like, retaliate when she releases it. And she's like, no, I'm not worried. Like, won't local boys like you beat him up for me if he does that? And Wazim's like, okay, well, but what if he only chased you because he thought you were a dude and you flipped him off and he didn't like that? And so now BV's picking up what he's putting down.
Yes.
And she agrees not to release this video of him, but she says that the friend who Wazim punched is going to want some kind of vengeance. And so she suggests that she and Wazim make some kind of video together. So they make plans to do this. They take a selfie together. Wazim gives her his Instagram handle. The start of a budding relationship here.
I do think it's great that, like, when they go to take the selfie at first, he's doing, like, a hand gesture. And then she just kind of looks at him, and then he just cheeses really hard.
Yeah. Like, he's, like, trying to be cool, and she's like, that's not the way, sir.
Yeah.
We see Wazim test out some new looks for this video before.
Yes. I like the good looks meter.
Yes, which is often off the charts for this man.
yes.
But he lands on a familiar floppy hairstyle and a button down, the outfit that we saw him wearing previously when he got into the fight with Jamshi. And that is what happens. This is when that happens in the actual timeline. Yes. And he doesn't actually go and meet up with BV because all these fights happen.
Mm-hmm. He looks great, though.
He does look great. He's got that going for him. This leads us to chapter 4, Hit, Hit, Hooray. Wazim is once more working at the movie theater when Sitar arrives to inform him that BV and her friends are on their way there. He has also learned that BV is going to be studying in Kerala for 2 years, so she's going to be hanging out around them for a bit of time, which is nice to know. Unfortunately, the theater is having technical difficulties, so Wazim tells BV and her friends that they'll have to come back for the evening show. They have a flirty exchange where she notices that he has changed his hairstyle, and then she asks if he plans to ditch her again like he did for the video, but he promises he won't, and he's also going to be there for the evening show. Alas, this does not, well, it sort of doesn't happen.
It doesn't happen
in the way we would have hoped. Because just then, a man named Omega Babu returns to town. Through a series of yet more flashbacks within flashbacks, we learn that Omega Babu is Jamshi's sworn enemy. Twice in the past, he has hit Jamshi completely unprovoked, both times while Jamshi's just, like, hanging out by himself so he doesn't have anybody to, like, back him up.
Right. What is up with all of these people just hitting people for no reason?
I don't know. It's a lot. I hope that this isn't anybody's reality.
Yeah.
Unless you're like a boxer and it's your job.
But then that's a reason.
You're right. That is a reason. So the boys make a plan to ambush Omega Babu as he's on his way home from a club at night. So they all take their places, but then Wazim notices Siad coming out of his house. And this is, of course, pre-foaming at the wedding. Yeah. But Wazim is still holding a grudge against Siad, because once Siad pulled Wazim's lungi off, like, in public while Wazim was working at the movie theater. Which, like, what a dick move. I'm sorry. There's no other word for it.
It's very rude. Yeah.
He's just standing there in his underwear.
Yeah.
It's like pantsing somebody.
Exactly. I will just note, his thighs looked great.
His thighs did look incredible.
But we shouldn't have even been able to see them.
Exactly. It's a problem that they were shown to us without his consent.
Yes.
But good work, Tovi. So Wazim goes over and he slaps Siad and he pulls off his dhoti and starts beating him up. And Jamshi is super annoyed about this because all of the boys end up having to, like, leave their stations and go and rescue Wazim because Siad's boys are coming out and, like, there's going to be this big fight. And so they all end up fleeing instead of taking the revenge on Omega Babu, who's, like, showing up at exactly that moment on his bike. So poor Jamshi is just, he's just sulking about this in the back of his car. And in what I feel is a very relatable, like, friendship scene, Wazim is sort of like, well, I really want to go in and talk to BV, but I don't want to leave Jamshi because I kind of feel bad about what happened. And so Jamshi, like, dismisses him to go into the theater and he continues to sulk for a little bit. But then he's like, well, I'm also kind of curious about what's going on with this girl. So, like, okay, let's go in too. It's all very sweet.
Yeah.
So they all head into the theater, and Wazim points out BV to Rajesh, who, like, nods his approval, which is also very cute. But then Jamshi and Vikas are looking around and noticing that there's kind of a bit of a weird vibe in the theater. There's quite a few people from rival gangs just casually watching this movie together. And there's maybe, maybe it's not so casual. There's a little bit of rising tension in the air. And just as we're starting to notice that tension, Siad arrives with his gang. And just as the audience stands up and cheers at the movie, he attacks Wazim. And poor Wazim is, he doesn't want to fight him in front of BV in this theater, but he is not given much other choice.
I do feel like that kind of happens several times with him. Like, either his friends get him pulled into fights.
He's not always to blame, just a good amount of the time.
All
of those gangs start, like, beating each other up. All of that tension just comes to a head. And suddenly, like, everyone in the theater is fighting. It's just devolved into complete and utter madness. And I do think this is, like, a really incredible fight sequence. I sought out, like, just this scene from this movie to watch before on multiple occasions.
It's my favorite.
Yeah.
Wazim does so many cool, like, spinny, kicky moves.
Yes. Yeah. Very impressive.
Yeah. And this is truly organized chaos.
It really is, yes.
Yeah. Organized from the perspective of the actual movie makers. Right. Not the
In the plot, it's not organized. But yeah, it's like they do a really good job of making it seem like everything's out of control. But like, clearly there would have to be a lot of control for this to work on a movie set. We do also see like BV and her friends and presumably everybody else who doesn't want to die in this theater fight, like do escape safely.
Yep.
But yeah, Wazim's just taking people down. This is also, like, the most violent fight of the movie. We see Jamshi, like, stab a guy in the face.
Yeah.
Sitar snaps a guy's arm in half. And I'm pretty sure we see Rajesh kill a guy with a fire extinguisher. So, like, this, nothing like this happens really in any other fight. This is a bad one.
And there are zero consequences as far as, like, law goes.
Right, yes. and I think the consequences for Wazim could have been a lot harsher than what they are. But the theater is getting totally smashed, and we see at the front of the theater there's a man who, like, sets his shirt on fire and then chucks it at the screen. What a great help to this situation. Set fire.
Just to watch it burn.
Some people just want to watch the world burn. Wazim tries to fight his way to the screen, but it's too late. It just immediately goes up in a blaze, and he just stands there and watches as his father's work falls down around him. Mm-hmm. When the fight ends, Wazim is at the police station with his friends, and his dad banishes him to Dubai for 2 years. Again, not the harshest of punishments, but he's pretty broken up about it. He's got to leave his friends. He's got to leave BV. It's a bummer.
Yeah, but Dubai seems like a pretty cool city.
It does, yeah. I think there are worse places you could be banished.
Yeah.
Where was, I was trying to think of the Count of Monte Cristo and wherever he was banished. Some island somewhere.
Yeah, that island, like off the coast of France or something. Yeah.
That would be worse.
Yeah, although he did okay.
He did okay. It's true. But so now we're at chapter 5, emergency period. We're back to the present. Reggie is in couples counseling with a priest. That's always funny to me. Like, what do priests know about marriage? But,
yeah,
you know, and I'm not one to question religious traditions, but I do just think that's funny.
Yeah.
But Reggie is telling the priest and his wife that he knows everything that he needs to do to fix all of his problems. Everything's going to be fine. Meanwhile, Sitar calls BV to congratulate her on her coming engagement, and BV thanks him, and that's pretty much the end of the conversation. But from this, Sitar gleans that BV she's not happy about her wedding. She tells Wazim and the rest of the boys that she sounds distraught from the words thank you. So Wazim takes Sitar's phone and calls BV himself because he wants to see how she'll respond if he congratulates her on her upcoming engagement. And this leads us into our next dance number and my favorite song from this movie, Tupa Tu. And it's probably clear because of my love of Tovi that one of the reasons I love this song so much is it is performed by him, and I think he does a fabulous job. Every time I hear his voice saying the words, hey Patu, it, like, makes my heart skip a beat.
I love that for you.
Yeah, thank you.
This is also the number where he's in like the newsboy cap, right? Like the
when they're in the barbershop and
I like that.
Yeah, he's got the vest and the tie and
it's a good look.
It's a very good look. Yeah, it's like we've got the barbershop with the boys and we've got the salon with BV and they're kind of like singing back and forth through the mirror. It's very cool. And I just really enjoy the line in this song where he says, if you're an international championship, I'm Lionel Messi.
Yes. Yeah.
What a fun thing to say to somebody. I'm going to win you every time. And that's pretty much the vibe of the song. As the number comes to an end, Wasim hangs up the phone with BV. And then Reggie arrives. And he is alone. He tells the boys that he has come with no one to back him but the backstory, which is also a great line.
Yeah.
He twirls his mustache and asks Wasim if he's ready for a one-on-one. And this is intermission. And after intermission, it is time for the backstory.
Yes.
We get chapter 6, Ceasefire Resolution. Reggie and his friends are celebrating his birthday and his promotion to sub-inspector. And meanwhile, the boys are drinking together at the garage where Rajesh works on some very fancy cars. And Wasim arrives, and this is the first time, well, this is him returning from his 2-year banishment to Dubai.
Yes.
And they give a little sort of mimed celebration as he enters, which is very cute. And he tells them that he visited the theater before he came to see them, and he got a little emotional. And this leads to them conceiving of an idea to open a food court at the restaurant. And this is kind of the beginnings of the plan that comes to fruition later of opening a restaurant in town.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Vikas asks Wasim to accompany him the next day to meet a potential bride. So that's exciting. Good for Vikas.
Yes.
As Reggie's gang and Wasim's gang separately celebrate together, we launch into our next dance number, the title of which I will not be attempting to pronounce because it's more consonants than vowels and I don't know how to say it. But
is this the garage dance?
Yes, the garage dance.
Great.
I think that's an excellent way of putting it.
Yeah, I like this one too.
This is a good one. This is my favorite dance number of the movie.
I agree with that.
Yeah. I also, I want to talk about Tovey's dancing a little bit here, because he's not, a perfect technical dancer the way, a Hrithik or a Ranveer would be.
Sure.
But he's, a Shah Rukh-type dancer, where
he's
it's his
energy.
Enthusiasm. Yeah, his energy.
Yes.
That, carries him through. And I feel like that's what we see throughout all the songs he dances in. I've never seen him dance like this in any other movie, and I don't think he has.
Yeah, I remember you telling me that.
Yeah. And I haven't seen his entire body of work, so I could be wrong, but I just, in my experience, you don't see quite as, there's not that same assumption that there's going to be singing and dancing in every Malayalam movie as there is in, the vast majority of Bollywood movies.
Right.
So, yeah, I loved seeing him do this, and I think other people
did
too. Yeah.
I really liked that they made a Fight Club reference.
Yes, I thought you would like that.
Yes, I did. I did a lot. I wrote it down.
Yes.
So, we do not talk about Hate Club. And the second rule is we do not talk about Hate Club.
Yeah, it's so important. Love you got to reiterate it.
Great. Yeah. I just, appreciated that.
Absolutely. After the dance number, we see the next day, and the boys are all on their way to go and meet Vikas's potential bride. But he gets annoyed because he doesn't like the shirt that Wasim is wearing. It's too loud. But Wasim and the others take this opportunity to tell Vikas that none of them like his shirt either.
Right.
Which, again, feels like a friend conversation. Feels very real.
Yes.
And so they decide that they will stop at a mall so that each man can buy a new shirt for the celebrations, for this event. And it's really cute. They do a little, wedding thing as Vikas is leaving the dressing room. They're all, really happy and excited. But then, as he's backing out of the dressing room, Wasim bumps right into BV. And she goes to slap him, and he grabs her wrist. So then she swings her purse and whacks him over the head with it. And it is a large purse.
It is. It probably didn't feel good. And in fact, he did end up needing a Band-Aid.
He did have a Band-Aid, yes. He was injured. And so this happens. The store owner intervenes. But one of the guys who we know is a part of Reggie's gang is there and sees this happen. And he thinks that the boys were harassing BV. And so he steps in to kind of get up in people's face. And Jamshi pushes him.
Yeah, you probably shouldn't push a cop.
I don't know if this guy's a cop.
Oh, maybe he's not a cop. Okay.
Yeah, but he might be. And yeah, you just shouldn't push people. Yeah.
Exactly. You're right. You shouldn't push anyone.
Yeah. But so this is what prompts what we saw earlier, where this guy goes and tells Reggie and the rest of the gang that he got beat up by these guys. And so they go and they confront the group of boys in this parking garage. Mm-hmm. But we once more cut away from the fight just as we're seeing them start to face off. We don't see the fight in this moment. We instead go to the hospital, where the boys are looking pretty rough. They clearly came out worse in this fight. Reggie and his gang are pulling the classic, hey, we're cool, right? Like, you're not gonna file a police report. Like, we're gonna pay your medical bills. It's all good. Like, don't worry about it. And the boys are like, yeah, okay, we don't care. Just leave. We don't want to talk to you anymore. Yeah. But on their way out, Wasim does ask Reggie, what if they're okay with the troubles that a case would cause for them? And Reggie's like, well, first it would make trouble for you, but then it would make trouble for me. And Wasim's like, don't worry, we're not going to do anything. And he kind of pats Reggie on the arm. But it's a tense moment.
Yes.
And as the boys are driving home from the hospital, in complete silence, we see the fight in flashbacks. And we see that not only did they get beaten up, but Reggie's gang went out of their way to humiliate each of them in different ways.
Yeah, there's a moment when one of the guys spits on his hand before spanking.
Yeah.
One of Wasim's friends, and I was like, that's an interesting move.
It is an interesting move. Yeah, there, I feel like there's a lot of subtext to that.
Right, it's not unsexual.
The fact that it is, that almost moves it into, like, an assault category. It's a very interesting, yeah. Like, a sexual assault specifically yeah. category. It's a very interesting fight. And yes. This is another thing I'll say about this movie is I feel like all of the big fights are really different in mm-hmm. the way they look, in the way they're shot, in the way that they're presented to us in the story. There's a lot of variety, which I really like about this movie. Poor Sitar in particular, like, his eye is all swollen shut because he got hit in the face with a bag that had glass in it. So he looks the worst of all the guys. And poor Sitar is, like, the least violent of all of them. I mean, even though he broke that one guy's arm in half, but for the rest of the time, I feel like we see him do the least amount of fighting. But
that's always what happens. It's always the gentlest that get hurt the most.
So tragic. We then get a quick jump back to the present where we see Reggie and Wasim preparing for their one-on-one rematch. And then we get Chapter 7, Blown by a Mellow Beat. We jump back to our pre-wedding timeline, and there's a video, like, security footage from the mall of BV hitting Wasim over the head with her purse. And this video goes viral because, again, BV is famous.
Mm-hmm.
This gets Vikas in trouble with his mom, which is very upsetting to him because he's trying to get married. And so Vikas calls BV to yell at her, and then BV shows up at Wasim's house to yell at him. And she rolls up with a bunch of her girlfriends and then, like, two kind of skinny dudes. And Wasim's
she's got
like,
a gang.
Yeah, she's got a gang. And Wasim's like, all right, you guys here to beat me up? And he asks to talk to BV alone, and he apologizes on behalf of Vikas, and then he's like, all right, it's your turn to apologize for hitting me with your purse.
Uh-huh.
And BV says that she's not used to saying sorry, and I like that Wasim doesn't push it. He's just okay.
Yeah, I agree. He was just like, all right, then just give me a reason.
Yep. But she can't. She's like, I haven't figured out the reason yet, but I'll let you know when I think of one. And so they awkwardly agree to be in contact with each other in the future. Like, clearly both of these people is interested in the other. But they're going about it, you know, they're being a little coy about it.
Yes.
BV then hears from some of her aunties several stories of Wasim just being like a crazy fighty boy, like just getting into fights all over the place. As we have seen, there are even more examples of this than what we see in the movie. Mm-hmm. One time he even beat up a man in front of that man's mother.
Yeah.
Whoa. But
that BV... won't come back.
But BV gets clarification on what actually happened in this fight, and she clearly decides that Wasim is the type of crazy that she's into.
Great.
So the two of them meet up with their friends, and Wasim takes the opportunity to ask BV if she's figured out why she hit him. And she explains that she had been holding on to that hit for 2 years since the night of the theater fight because she had her little brother there with her. Mm-hmm. And that's very fair. Like, the life of a child and several other people was endangered indirectly because of things that Wazim did.
Yes.
So it's understandable that she be angry. But the air is now cleared, and the two of them flirt with each other some more. Bibi says that she likes the way Wazim smells, which I'm sure I would too. And Wazim tells her that he's going back to Dubai the day after tomorrow. And Bibi says that she's still deciding whether she's going to go back or when she's going to go back. She does say that her schoolwork that she's been doing for the last 2 years is not going great, so maybe she's ready.
Yeah.
We cut to Wazim packing and getting ready to leave, and then Sitar gets a call from Bibi. I also really like that Bibi always calls Sitar. She never calls Wazim.
It's like they're just their buddies.
Yeah. But so she tells Sitar that she is no longer going back to Dubai. She's going to stay in Kerala. And at first, Wazim is like, well, I don't care. I'm definitely going back to Dubai. Like, I'm not going to stay just because she's staying. But his friends all know that he's lying for the sake of, like, keeping up appearances with them. They ultimately convince him to stay and to call her. And so he does. And he tells her that he wants to meet up with her in person so he can clear some things up. And then, I just love this moment so much. I mean, I love every moment in this movie, but this one in particular. Sitar says that he has to go and meet up with some people. And he then flags down a passing van that is very colorfully decorated and full of musicians. And he climbs into the backseat of this van with these musicians.
Yeah.
And this launches us into our next dance number, Oh the Melody.
Yeah, and I think this is my favorite.
This is an excellent choice.
Yeah.
I would have guessed that this would be your favorite, because this is a great one. We see Wazim going and meeting up with Bibi, and she confesses that she was just testing him to see what he would do when she said that she wasn't leaving town. And then he asks if she wants to hang out with him, and she says yes. But I really like the Layla Majnu reference that we get.
Yes.
And they say that Majnu is arriving on a horse and Wazim does like a little prance.
Yeah, I really, really enjoyed that too. Yeah.
Very adorable. I also love the moment in this where like the musicians just all disappear and Sitar is just left like in the van by himself and he has to like run up and try to steer the van.
Yeah, he gets very concerned. And I was like, wait, how did they all get out without stopping the van?
It's the fantasy of it all. Well, now they had to go back up Wazim as he's arriving to talk to Bibi. And continuing over the course of this number, this is very much a plot-advancing number. We see Wazim and Bibi hanging out, dating, hooking up in the back of a car. And they eventually end up talking to their families about getting married. And the next thing we know, we are at their engagement. And Wazim is wearing an amazing, like, green overcoat, like, velvet. Looks absolutely fantastic. And the number ends with everybody kind of like dancing at the engagement. And it's just very cute, just from start to finish.
It's very fun. And I like the music a lot, too.
Yes, it is. It's got a good beat to it.
Yes. Yeah.
After this dance number, we get to Chapter 8, Unbeatable Friendship 2. Wazim is shopping for his wedding jewelry with his brother-in-law when they encounter Reggie. And this is the first time these men are seeing each other since their fight. Reggie is being very friendly with Wazim. He apologizes for what happens. He says it was all a misunderstanding, and he reveals that he was recently promoted to sub-inspector, so he's grateful to Wazim for not getting in the way of that happening. And he also, like, suggests that they spend some time together.
And I feel like this is the, like, classic, you bump into that person you haven't seen in a few years.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, wow, great. Like, nice seeing you. And you don't not mean it, but you're also content if you never see them again.
Exactly. Yes.
And then they're like, we should meet up for coffee. And you think, no, but you also can't say that.
Right.
Yeah.
I actually think the amount of time that we spend together now is pretty ideal for me.
Exactly. It's like, who is this for? I don't believe you. Oh, God. Yes. It's a very human experience.
Yes. Reggie's really, like, putting on a performance here. And Wazim is, he's like, no, I don't want that. And then he tells Reggie that he's getting married soon. You know, he's... maybe starting to think about not doing quite so much fighting and violence.
Right.
Reggie congratulates him, and then Wazim's brother-in-law invites Reggie to the wedding and
read
to the like
room.
Celebrations before. I know, come on, bro. So that's great. Wazim breaks this news to his friends as they're all getting fitted for their very colorful wedding suits.
Yeah.
And they all say that they're going to lose their cool if Reggie shows up at the wedding. But Wazim's like, there's no way he's going to do that. He's a good guy. He just accepted the invitation to be polite, but he's not going to actually come. And if only that were true. The night before the wedding, Wazim is very adorably watching a video that Bibi posted of her getting her hands hennaed. And he's lying in bed with a face mask on.
Yeah.
And then he gets a call from Reggie asking for directions to Wazim's house. And so, yeah, he's coming and he's bringing friends.
Yeah. Also, though, this is also just like a classic wedding experience. I feel like you're the bride or the groom and you're just like, it should be my day. Like, I should be able to say I don't want this person here, but I can't.
I'm having to, manage other people's feelings and expectations. Basically, Reggie and his gang kind of take over doing the stuff that the boys, Wazim's friends, should be doing. And the boys are feeling kind of boxed out of the celebrations. But it does seem like Reggie means well. Like, he does seem to legitimately want Wazim to like him and forgive him, but he's not getting that forgiveness, so he just keeps trying to do more, which is making it a lot worse. The day of the wedding, Wazim wakes up to Reggie and his gang bringing him coffee and like helping him get dressed and redecorating his bedroom for his wedding night. And the boys are there, and again, they're just like not able to help their friend get ready for his wedding, but they're determined that they're not going to get in a fight with Reggie's gang, at least not until after the wedding, because they don't want to ruin Wazim's big day.
Yes.
And this is where we see the pictures get taken that we saw at the start of the movie. Rajesh has borrowed one of the fancy red convertibles from his work to drive Wazim to the wedding venue, but the car won't start. And so Reggie insists on taking Wazim with him in his car.
This makes me so sad.
I know. Just like the vision you had just falling apart in front of you.
Yeah.
Reggie and Wazim get into the front of the car. Jamshi, Vikas, Rajesh, and two of Reggie's gang then get into the two back seats. So this car is just full of men who don't like each other.
Yeah. I'm like, why? This doesn't have to be happening.
No, I know. It's like, it's crammed. Everybody is miserable. After some awkward attempts at conversation, a fight breaks out in the two back seats, and Reggie and Wazim are desperately trying to stop from the front seats. Reggie is trying to not drive into oncoming traffic or drive off the road. He's just swerving all over the place. They do eventually get to the venue, and they all file out of the car in various stages of must-ness.
Well, like, someone was beating someone else with a headrest.
Yes.
Someone was strangling someone with a seatbelt. Yeah. Like, it is kind of impressive what they were able to do in the confines of this car.
They did manage to accomplish a lot with the tools they had available to them.
Yeah.
And so this is the spirit with which Wazim processes to the stage and gets sprayed in the face with foam by Siad, as we saw at the start of the movie. And so now it's even more understandable why he just goes and punches Siad right in the face. This has been coming on for quite some time. And now we finally see this fight in its entirety. After the first punch, everyone just starts kicking each other. BV, meanwhile, is watching from the stage, and at one point she, like, acquires some popcorn.
She's not surprised.
She's not surprised. She's not happy about it. She's also not unhappy about it.
Right.
It definitely seems like it's more her dad's influence. Like, her dad is looking at her like, we should probably go. And he's the one who tells her later that she should go back to Dubai with him. So, yeah, I think that's important because it's not like Wazim has ruined this day, but BV's sense of that is kind of being dictated by her dad.
Right.
But yeah, so the fight continues. There's flipping, there's furniture breaking, just general pandemonium. Wazim's dad begs Reggie to stop Wazim, who is just like tearing his way through the crowd like a wild animal. And Reggie does go up to Wazim, but Wazim just ends up flipping him onto his back, just takes him out easily.
Yeah.
Then in the present, During their one-on-one fight, we see Reggie flipping Wazim onto his back. Mm-hmm. We cut back and forth between the wedding fight and the present-day one-on-one fight. And in the past, Wazim bests Reggie, while in the present, Reggie bests Wazim in the same way. So in the present, Reggie rolls off Wazim and kisses him on the cheek. And he thanks him for settling the score. Wazim sadly says that for him, the score can't be settled by hitting Reggie because Beavy is getting engaged in 2 days.
Yeah.
Reggie asks, well, how does she feel about that? And Satire reminds us that Beavy thanked him for his congratulations, but it didn't sound good.
Mm-hmm. So they gotta save her.
Exactly, yes. So Reggie's like, all right, let's do it. Let's go stop this wedding. And so they're off to Dubai. We get to chapter 9, our final chapter, The Skipped Beat. The boys and Reggie roll up to Bibi's engagement, and they find her sitting by herself by the pool. She smiles when she sees Wazim. She's clearly not surprised to see him showing up to break up the engagement. But before anyone can do anything, Omega Babu appears.
Yeah.
I don't know why or from where, but here he is.
Yeah.
Wazim asks Jamshi which situation he wants to deal with first, and Jamshi says, let's deal with mine. So Beavy storms off as the boys charge Omega Babu, and the credits begin to roll.
Yeah.
And we do see one more quick scene of Wazim chasing after Beavy as she's, like, running out of the venue wearing her white dress. And I like to think that they work it out eventually.
I'm sure they do. Yeah. Yeah. I'm not sure it's, like, the healthiest of relationships. But to each their own.
I don't think there's anything unhealthy about their relationship. I think that they both just need some therapy.
Yes, but I think they growing could up
be,
to do.
Yes, they both could be very good partners for each other eventually.
That is fair.
Yeah.
Mostly just I would think it's a red flag if a guy I was dating was constantly getting into fights.
I agree. Yeah. I think that's very valid. But let's assume, since the movie doesn't tell us otherwise, that they work on things and they live happily ever after.
Yes. I love that. That's it. Yeah, I meant to mention that during the, like, fight scene at the wedding, there's a moment where, like, Wazim gets, like, thrown back into a chair, and he kind of just takes a moment to, like, sigh. Like, he looks like he's so over it.
Yeah.
But then he just, like, wades back into the fray. Like, I love that.
Yeah, and I think he is, you know, other than the one-on-one fight with Reggie.
Yeah.
This is kind of the last time we see him really causing a fight. Like, even at the Arts Day thing, he's, like, trying to get out of it. So,
yeah.
You know, I think he does experience some growth over the course of the movie. It's just hard to tell because the movie's out of order.
Exactly.
But yeah. It's hard to see. If it was in order, you'd probably see more of that growth. I just love this movie. It's funny because I was comparing it to Animal in my mind.
Okay.
And I was just thinking about the fact that, like, this is a movie that is also very violent and has a lot of fighting, but in a way that doesn't seem to suggest that this is the way anybody should be. It's sort of just like, this is the way this guy is, but it's not, like, glorified in the same way that it is an Animal. And we also see how damaging it is to Wazim's relationships with his friends, with his family, with the woman he loves. I didn't talk about his family a ton, but there are a lot of really good, well-written, well-performed scenes with him and his dad.
Yeah.
And, like, that's clearly, like, a really complex and fully, like, developed relationship, even though we don't see it a ton throughout the movie. But, yeah, I don't know. I was thinking about Animal recently and how, upon further reflection, like, how even more troubled I am by it than I was after we first watched it. And then I was thinking, like, this is also a really violent movie. Why do I like this movie so much better than Animal? And that's what I came up with.
Yeah, I think that's true. It's also just, like, lighter.
Yeah.
And less about penises.
Yeah, it's pretty much not at all about penises, which is fine by me, you know?
me too. Not to say that it can't be, but it doesn't need to be.
No, exactly. Yes. There are some stories that do. This one is not one of them. Neither was Animal, I would argue, but...
Exactly. Interesting.
Yeah. But anyway, that's it. That's one of my favorite movies. Like,
and it's so good.
Thanks for going on that journey with me, everyone.
Thanks for choosing it as your birthday movie, because I probably won't watch it again until sometime when you and I are hanging out and you're like, let's put that on. But I look forward to it.
Yeah, that's something I am not unlikely to do. Or at the very least, watch through the dance numbers, because they're really, yes, really excellent. But I'm excited to hear what you did for your research this week.
Yeah. So you have mentioned this YouTuber before named Dhruv Rathi, and you sent me this link to this YouTube video called Why is South India More Developed Than North India? Mm-hmm. So I watched it, and we're just going to go through that.
Great. Yeah.
Great.
I look forward to hearing it.
But Dhruv starts off by defining what is considered North India versus what's considered South India. And for the sake of this video, he is including Himachal Pradesh, Punjab, Haryana, Rajasthan, Uttarakhand, Uttar Pradesh, the Union Territories of Jammu and Kashmir, Ladakh, Chandigarh, and Delhi as North India.
Got it.
And yes. And South India includes Kerala, Tamil Nadu, Karnataka, Andhra Pradesh, Telangana, and the Union Territories of Puducherry and Lakshadweep. So Dhruv then goes into the history of these two regions, because mm-hmm. to understand the difference in development, we have to look at the history. And before the British came, North India and South India were both ruled by various dynasties. Mm-hmm. Long lists. Not going to go into them. Just know that that happened. However, North India had a lot more foreign invasions than South India, since it is connected by land to the rest of Asia, Europe, and Africa.
That's a lot of places.
It's a lot of places, a lot of potential for foreign invasion.
Yes, indeed. And I also remember learning once that when you look at a map, looking at the blue is just as important as looking at the whatever color the land is on the map you're looking at.
Yeah.
Because, like, certain things travel more easily over water than travel over land.
Yes, like goods. But not armies.
Right.
Yeah, and to be clear, when Dhruv says foreign invasion, he means invaders coming from outside of India's borders today. Because obviously back then the borders were different. But
yeah.
South India was protected in large part by the oceans surrounding it on three sides. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't as open to invasion. And with those oceans, it was easier to trade goods peacefully than invade.
Ah.
Yes. So regions in South India became known for their spices and silks, and those were traded all over the world, and so there was a lot of sharing of commerce and religion and ideas, and all of it was pretty good. And so South India only had three foreign invasions over the course of its history. North India participated in trading as well, but it suffered, like, many, many, many more foreign invasions year after year. Seems, like, pretty constant. Things just, were just shifting.
Just shifting power. It's like Game of Thrones up in there.
Exactly. And Dhruv goes on to explain the effects of these invasions on North India versus South India. So whereas South India is home to four of the nine classical Indian dances, North India is only the origin of one.
Wow.
Yes. They didn't have time to develop their culture in the same way that South India did.
It kept getting taken over by other cultures.
Yes. And South India's four main states also have distinct languages: Malayalam, Telugu, Tamil, and Kannada. There are also distinct film industries mm-hmm. for each of those languages, which
each of which
we are
we've watched
aware
movies
of
from.
Yes, we have.
Yeah, pat ourselves on the back for that.
Love that. Comparatively, in North India, there are distinct languages like Punjabi, Kashmiri, and Urdu, but many of the spoken languages, like upwards of 50, are dialects of Hindi.
Mm. Yeah.
Culturally, North India has such a turbulent history of constant foreign invasions that it has one main culture that is a fusion of various cultures. For example, Northern Indian methods of art were inspired by the Greeks, styles of dress were inspired by the Mughals, and even the original Punjabi samosas were introduced to India by Middle Eastern chefs during the Delhi Sultanate rule.
Hmm, interesting.
Yeah. And they used to not have a potato base until the Portuguese came and were like, use potatoes.
Oh.
It's all fascinating.
It's so funny. Like, potatoes are such a staple food in so many cultures. And it's just funny to think that, like, they're not naturally from all of those places.
Right.
Just, someone was like, listen, there's this thing called a potato. It's really good. You guys are going to love it.
Yeah. Like, hard to kill. It will sustain you.
Yeah. Like, you can get all of the nutrients you need just from this potato.
Mm-hmm. That's like, God, in Outlander, when they're just like, there's going to be a famine, there's going to be a war, plant potatoes.
Plant potatoes.
And everyone's like, what's a potato?
Potatoes, man. They're, gotta love them. This episode brought to you by...
potatoes.
Potatoes.
We've now said potatoes so many times that it doesn't sound like a real word.
It's a very funny word to begin with, yeah.
Patatas. Anyway, whereas in South India, culture grew independently, you know, amongst the different states. Mm-hmm. In North India, it was a constant swirling and meshing of various cultural identities. Still valuable, but just different. Mm-hmm. And now, on to development. Dhruv defines development as GDP per capita, which is a measurement of wealth. So Uttar Pradesh is at the bottom of the ranking list in terms of development at 65,000 rupees per person. Mm-hmm. Comparatively, the lowest ranked state in South India is Andhra Pradesh at 170,000 rupees.
More than
so
twice as much.
More than double.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Like, that's like three times as much.
Almost, yeah.
Wow.
That's a lot. And yes, Delhi is one of the highest ranked on the development list, and that's considered part of North India, but South India as a whole has the majority of its states falling into the 200,000 to 250,000 rupee category.
Yeah.
So as a whole, South India is just a lot healthier in terms of GDP per capita than North India is. But you can't just measure development by wealth. You also have to measure it by poverty. So Dhruv also gave us the statistics on poverty in these areas. And Kerala has the lowest number of multidimensionally poor people. Less than 1% of its population are considered poor.
Wow.
Which Kerala, is really man. Impressive. Yeah, we should all be doing what they're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. Everyone take Kerala as an example.
Yeah, and most of South India's states fall into the top 10% of lowest poverty rates.
Okay. Yes.
Great. And some North Indian states are also included in that top 10%, but Uttar Pradesh and Rajasthan are at the very, very bottom with some of the highest rates of poverty. Mm. Uttar Pradesh has a poverty rate of 37.79%, while Rajasthan is at
29.46%. Wow, that's huge and also such a huge increase over the southern states.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, almost 40% is scary.
Really scary, yeah.
But South India is also farther ahead in terms of literacy. Mm-hmm. And interestingly, this fact cannot be blamed on the foreign invasions in northern India. Hmm. Dhruv argues that this has nothing to do with that, because at the time of independence from the British, literacy rates were similar in both North and South India.
Hmm.
It was in the three decades from the 1970s through the 1990s that this began to change. Now, like today, population growth in South India is lower than in North India, as is infant mortality rate. Mm. Children born in South India have a higher likelihood of getting vaccinated, receiving health care, and going to college. So, how did this happen?
Mm-hmm.
Dhruv gave us several examples of what different state governments did. He talked about how the government in Tamil Nadu started up meal programs at schools to ensure that children in schools were being fed. That then meant that more families enrolled their children in school. Once the school admissions went up, that eventually leads to more college admissions as well.
Mm-hmm.
Then Karnataka was the first Indian state to introduce an IT policy in 1997. Which created an entire information technology infrastructure in the state and led to Bangalore being considered the IT capital of India.
As we learned in White Tiger.
Exactly. Kerala has launched a project to provide high-speed internet to families free of charge throughout the state, meaning that even poor children are able to access the internet to study.
Which shows a real understanding of the importance of how literacy has changed.
Yes.
You know, over the years, like, and what is needed to engage with
exactly.
the world. Exactly. Yeah.
But wait, there's more. The Center for New Economic Studies did a study in 2001 where they measured access to five basic things: education, healthcare, basic amenities, socioeconomic security, and justice. Mm-hmm. And they found that the five South Indian states are on the list of the top 10 states in India.
Oh, wow.
South Indian state governments are spending more on welfare for their citizens than other states in general.
We like that.
Yeah. And Dhruv argues that the reason for this is political competition, because if one political party remains in power for too long, they start to take that power for granted and stop promoting change and providing improvements to daily life.
Yes. We like term limits, too.
In the 50 years after independence, North India was ruled by the Congress Party, which just kept winning, versus South India, where there was no monopoly. Parties kept switching who was in power. So they constantly had to be providing for their citizens.
Right. Yeah.
And in addition,
think about what people want.
Right. Yeah. And I'm like, God, that would be nice.
Right. Wouldn't it? Politicians doing what people want them to do? Who would have thought?
Elected officials. Yeah. In addition, the local population of South India was well-educated and involved in politics, mm-hmm. so they kept demanding basic rights like education and healthcare.
Yeah, so it's a cyclical thing.
Exactly. Yeah. It's self-sustaining in a way. So Dhruv ends this whole video by saying that India is one. It's not split into North India and South India, and all Indians are equal. But it's important to understand this history of these differences so that they can all work together to come up with solutions to help decrease poverty, right. increase equity and equality, and just make life better for everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was what I learned. Thanks for sharing that YouTube video. It's really good. Highly recommend that people watch it. Again, that YouTuber is Dhruv Rathi.
Yeah. And I'll confess, too, that the reason I was thinking about Animal recently was because I watched Dhruv's review.
Oh, great. Oh, I bet he had some good things to say.
Yeah. Yes. Had some interesting takes on it. I mean, all things that I think we would agree with. And that was what kind of got me thinking about it for today. But yeah, I mean, it's all really interesting. It all makes sense. And again, it's not trying to compare, say, that one place is better than the other. It's just, here are the circumstances that led to higher rates of poverty, and how can that, and lower rates of literacy, like, how can we help? But the we of India help everyone to be living better lives, and having that awareness would, in theory, help with that. I do also think it's interesting, when I watched this video for the first time, like, weeks ago, I was reading through some of the comments underneath, and there were a lot of Southern Indian people in the comments chiming in to say, like, yeah, we also don't have as much violence against religions as exists in other places. And I think that's so interesting, given that Southern India has this very heterogeneous culture.
Yeah.
And so it makes sense that they would be accepting of other cultures, because they live among so many. Whereas in Northern India, where things are more homogenous, it's harder for people to maybe grasp those differences. And again, I'm painting with a very broad brush, and I'm not saying this to suggest that anybody is doing anything wrong or thinking about things the wrong way. It's just, it makes sense on a large scale, kind of culturally, why those things would come about. And also interesting, too, like, the language thing, and the fact that, like, there's completely different alphabets for all of those different languages, which there are for Northern Indian languages, I believe, as well, but it seems like a lot are written in Devanagari, how we see Hindi written. And so it makes sense then why a lot of the people who we know of who speak multiple languages and act in multiple languages are often Southern Indian stars. We see that from Northern Indian stars, too, but that's where at least we've noticed a lot of them being from.
Yeah, it's really fascinating. And again, I'm grateful that you shared that video with me, because I find that it's valuable to just know.
Yeah. Thanks for recapping it for me, because I have a really short memory, and hearing, like, experiencing something twice and talking about it are the things that make me remember it. So now this is going to stick in my brain a lot better.
Great. Happy to be of service. So yeah, Bollywood news.
I have one piece.
I also have one.
Would you like to go first?
Yeah, sure. I never have Bollywood news.
I know. I want to hear what it is.
I wonder if it's going to be the same as yours.
Maybe.
We'll see. But Kartik Aryan.
Yes. It's the same. Yes.
Yes. Coming out in a new movie on June 14th mm-hmm. called Chandu Champion.
Yes.
Just in time for the Olympics. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Seems like he kind of underwent a vast physical transformation, which we've talked about before.
Yeah. I'm interested to see the movie, and I'm always supportive of people, like, showing up in the world however they physically want to show up and feel most comfortable showing up, and I just hope that that is how Kartik was feeling
yes.
throughout this movie, throughout the filming of it.
I do feel like you cannot put muscle on without eating, so,
right.
like,
yes.
yeah, it does feel different than the Rondi Puda
yeah,
situation.
Yeah, different health-wise, yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Yes. But yeah, like, looks like a running movie?
Yeah, it's, like, army slash, like, being in the Olympics or, like, being in the army to be in the Olympics. And it seems like it's historical. It's based yeah. on, like, an actual historical person. Looks really good from what I can see. There's
it
a lot
does.
Of, like, positive feelings about it. And yeah, like yeah, you said, I'm coming out in time for the Olympics, so.
I'm excited. I'm hoping that maybe it'll be available for us to stream in July because we're kind of hoping to do some sports-themed
yeah.
things. It's also directed by Kabir Khan.
Oh, yeah.
Who did 83.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it should be good.
Yeah, it looks good. I love Kartik, and I don't always love his movies, which is an interesting
yeah.
thing for me to report. This one I have high hopes for.
Well, you know, we did have a stretch of some Kartik films that we were just like,
It's true. There were some things that were not as great as some of his other works. I have to remind
yeah.
myself of the Bulbulias and the
yes,
Love
and the
Aj
Love
Aj
calls.
Yeah.
And the Luca Chupi.
Oh, Luca Chupi, so sweet.
Yes, these yeah. are all, we will get to Love Aj Call and we will get to Luca Chupi.
Yeah,
it'll
will.
Be great.
Yep.
Awesome. Pluggables. Follow us at Two White Girls Talk Bollywood on Instagram and TikTok. Interact with us however you interact with anyone on those things.
Yeah.
As long as you're appropriate about it.
Yeah. Be nice.
We love comments. We love to receive likes. We love to receive DMs.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever you want to do or don't do is great with us.
Absolutely.
And also consider subscribing to us on whatever podcast platform you listen to us on. You could also consider leaving a rating or review on said podcast platform. But as always, thank you so much for listening.
Yeah. And join us as well on YouTube and Spotify, where we keep our Bollywood bangers playlists, which does include some Mollywood, Tollywood, Collywood bangers as well.
Mm-hmm.
But we put our favorite songs from the movies that we watch onto those playlists, and we link them in our episode descriptions as well as in our Instagram posts on Tuesdays if you'd like to join us for a bop.
Bop with us.
That should be the
tagline. It's one of the whitest things we've ever said.
Yep. Indeed it is. Yeah. It's always nice when we can top our previous levels of whiteness and just prove that we're still very much white ladies.
Yes.
But in a good way, we like to think.
Agreed.
Or just not in a bad way.
Yes. Before we announce our next movie, I think we should just share that we will be taking a 2-week hiatus.
Yes.
Not next week. We'll still have our episode come out as scheduled on June 4th, but then we're going to take a little 2-week summer break.
Yeah.
Our first break since we started this podcast.
Yeah.
Which is great.
We've been coming at you every week for like a year and a half, and
yeah.
we're ready to just like take a quick breather and then mm-hmm. come back strong at the end of June. But like Katie said, we are going to have a new episode coming out next week, and it is our 75th episode.
Yeah, pretty impressive. I'm pretty proud of us.
I think so too. Yeah, I mean, this was always going to be just like a fun thing for the two of us to do, so we're glad that other
yes.
people seem to like it, and
yeah.
the fact that we've been doing it for 75 weeks is pretty wild.
Yeah, so yeah, we're gonna take a 2-week break.
Yep.
So we'll have an episode coming out June 4th, and then the next episode after that will be June 25th.
Yes.
So, what will we be watching for our 75th episode?
Well, I'm glad you asked. We do still like the idea of watching movies that have some kind of LGBTQ+ content in them for the month of June, since it is Pride mm-hmm. Month. So we have decided to watch a movie that we've discussed briefly on the podcast before, Bombay Talkies.
Yeah, which has the first male-male on-screen kiss.
Yeah, in Hindi cinema.
I
believe that that's... We'll look it up for sure for next
yes,
week.
Yes, we
but
will
I'm
clarify
sure that.
That
that's what it's got, yeah.
Yeah. With my guy, Ron D. Puda.
Yeah.
So excited about that. Do you have the IMDb synopsis?
I do. 100 years of Hindi cinema is celebrated in 4 short stories showcasing the power of film.
Oh.
That's cool. Yeah. I didn't really realize that that's what they were going for, and that kind of works nicely for our 75th episode.
Yeah, I do think so. Yeah, there's 4 directors involved. Each one's directing a different short story. And Bombay Talkies is available to watch on Netflix. Mm-hmm. And the Netflix synopsis is more about the stories within the anthology. Cool. So a gay man deals with his sexuality, a struggling actor has an epiphany, a boy becomes a dancer, and a man tries to fulfill his father's dying wish.
Oh, interesting.
I'm excited. It's going to be, a slightly different thing than we've done before. So, that'll be good.
It will be. I'm looking forward to watching this one, and I'm sure it'll give us a lot to talk about.
Mm-hmm. So, go out, enjoy, watch. Kim, enjoy your birthday.
Yes, happy birthday. Hope everyone enjoys my birthday.
Yes, do something fun for yourself on Kim's birthday, May 28th.
Do it with me in mind, just like, be like, Kim.
Yes. And until next time... Remember, Bollywood and Mollywood don't need us.
No.
But we need all of it.
We really do. Whatever the language, we need it all.
We're here for it, and it makes life better.
South, north, east, west, all of it.
Middle.
Middle. Let's never forget the unsung heroes of the middle.
It's a good place to be.